Jesus. The heavens are roaring the praise of your glory.
For you are raised to life again. You have no rival.
You have no equal.
Now and forever, God, you reign.
Yours is the kingdom.
Yours is the glory.
Yours is the name above all names.
Trust you've had a good day in the Lord already. We started off pretty early around here. We had Easter sunrise service at 6:45 this morning, and we had an excellent turnout for that. I believe they said we had almost 100, if not better than 100 folks that came for the morning service at 6:45. And the men, the five men that fixed breakfast for us, you did an outstanding job. Thank you so much for all that. We appreciate their efforts in that. And Brother Jim said y'all going to have a break choir. No choir practice tonight. Y'all been working hard getting things ready for Easter Sunday. Actually, we started last Sunday with special music and worked it in all the way to this Sunday. And Brother Hector said as well, there will be no financial peace class today. He said, take a break, spend some money. Don't be such tight-fisted today. He'll get back on you next week. So y'all enjoy your day, but we will see you back here at 6 o'clock this evening for prayer. And the Easter lilies are beautiful. They were donated to us by Osceola Memory Gardens, and please take one as you leave. And enjoy them and plant them. They'll come up again next year, year after year. We have some on this side of the building that continually come up year after year. But remember, please send them a note of thank you. Thank you for caring to even donate them to the church. What a blessing that is. And so let's go to the Word of God this morning, this resurrection morning. Visitors, thank you for visiting with us. And we're glad to have all of our first-time visitors and returning visitors. Thank you for being with us this morning. And Brother Scahill's boys are in. One's in college at Clemson, and one's in college at Baylor, but they're both here visiting this weekend. And so we're glad to have them. Brother Scahill and his family used to be members here. But the Army moved them over to Germany, and now his boys are back in their Air Force cadets. I don't know how that works for Brother Scahill, but it'll be okay. We're glad to have them back this morning. Let's go to Matthew 27. Matthew chapter 27 this morning. Matthew chapter 27. We're going to talk a little bit this morning about the broken seal. We have been working and building up our Easter messages until this morning, and we'll close out our Easter message series here with the broken seal. Matthew 27, and let's start in verse 57 this morning. And we're going to read all the way through Matthew 28 to verse 15. So just stay with me. It's a little bit of length there, but it is timely for this morning's Resurrection Sunday. Matthew 27, verse number 57. When the even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea, named Joseph, who was also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. And he rolled a great stone of the door of the sepulchre and departed. Verse 61. And there were Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulchre. Now the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples came by night and steal him away. And say unto the people, he is risen from the dead. So the last era shall be worse than the first. Verse 65, Pilate said unto them, ye have a watch, go your way, make it as sure as ye can. So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. Chapter 28, verse number 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there were a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. Verse 5. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run and bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Verse 10. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And it was this come to the governor's ears. We will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. The broken seal. Now the resurrection of Christ had been promised to his disciples by the Lord Jesus Christ. If you would flip back to Matthew 20 and verse number 18. Matthew 20 and verse number 18. Both his death and the resurrection was clearly explained in this passage of Scripture here. Matthew 20 and verse 18. The Bible says, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death. And they shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him. And the third day he shall rise again. Neither his death nor his resurrection should have been a surprise to any of the disciples. It should not have been something that caught them off guard, because Jesus made these statements and these promises time and time again during his earthly ministry. Now, the enemies of Christ, listen, the enemies of Christ, they remembered, but his disciples so easily forgot that this was going to take place. Matthew Henry said in his commentary that hate is keener than sighted than love. Isn't it amazing that many times that which we despise and that which we do not like, we remember so much quicker and so much faster than those things which we dearly love. And so this is the case here. The disciples had forgotten that Jesus said, this is going to take place. There's coming a time when I go into Jerusalem, I'm going to go in on a donkey and I'm going to ride up in there. And boy, they're going to praise me one week, and the next week they're going to crucify me, and I'll be hanging on the cross. I'm going to be scourged. I'm going to be beaten. I'm going to die. I'm going to be put in a tomb. But 3 days later, I'm going to rise again. He entered. He worked and walked and was around the disciples, and fear overcame them and so much that they forgot. But we noticed that the enemies, oh, they didn't forget. We was reading there, and the enemy said, hey, remember verse 63 saying, sir, we remember that the deceiver said, in 3 days, he's going to come again. And boy, they brought this up, and at the cross, his disciples forsook, and they fled, and they ran away. But the enemies and those that would have him crucified, they stood around, and they watched, and they waited. They watched and they waited and they followed through the whole scene all the way into the tomb. And now they're before Pilate. Hey, we got to do something here. We have to do something, because this deceiver, he said he was going to rise himself again the third day. And we need to make sure that this does not happen. Now think with me for a moment. Think with me all the way back to the manger scene. Wait a minute, preacher. This is Easter. I know, but we got to talk about the body. We're talking about the body. See, they did not only expect a resurrection. They were expecting a bodily resurrection. They weren't expecting a spiritual resurrection, because who could hold a spirit in a tomb? Why sit a guard? Why sit a watch? They understood what Jesus was saying over and over again. So there's Jesus there in the manger. There's Mary there just giving birth to him. I can imagine for a moment there was that soft touch as a mother often does to a babe and feels the skin. I can often imagine as she picked up Jesus there, God himself robed in the flesh, born of a virgin, and she held him dear and she gave suck to him as she nursed him and she spent time changing him and the softness of his skin. And as he grew at the age of 12, the Bible talks about Jesus going to the temple and answering in questions to the scribes, to the Pharisees, to these same people. At the age of 12, Jesus was being questioned at the age of 12, and he's there answering questions, and as he goes, the group that he's with leaves Jerusalem, leaves him there for a day's journey, the Bible says. They figure out Jesus is not with him. They return back to Jerusalem. They find Jesus. I can almost sense as Joseph being Mary's father, but look at Jesus and say, you know, son, you got to stay with us. And what does Jesus say? That little touch. Now he's a 12-year-old boy, and he puts his hand on his shoulder, and he touches him there. And Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. The touch of Mary there on the thing, on his face as she held him close. The touch of maybe Joseph as he was there talking with him about getting lost, as they thought. Jesus knew exactly where he was at. They were the one lost. Then there in the Garden of Gethsemane, as he went off into the corner of the garden to pray and to find solitude, and he brought three of his disciples there as he prayed, and the Bible talks about great drops of blood, of sweat that would even pour out. And then the crowd coming, and guess what? Another touch. Here's Jesus, Judas coming with the crowd, and Judas touches him on the cheek also, and he kissed him with a kiss of betrayal. And then you have the scourging, the crown of thorns. You find the plucking of the beard. What an awful event if you was to study through Isaiah chapter 53 and Matthew chapter 27 and read the whole entirety. All the touching of the physical body and the pain and the hunger and the thirst and the suffering that the Lord Jesus Christ went to as He hung there on the cross of Calvary. And they came to break the thieves' legs. And of course, the Bible said that not a bone will be broken in His body. But they took a spear and they pierced Him under the rib, and His blood and water, it flowed out. Now here's this rich man, Joseph of Arimathea, as he takes down and touches again the body, as he lays that body in the tomb, and he puts him in the tomb, and he lays him there in his own tomb. He puts a big old rock over the door, and here comes the enemy. Here comes the scribes and the Pharisees, and they go to Pilate and say, "We've got to do something." This isn't amazing. They call him a deceiver, but yet believe what he said would happen. They call him a deceiver, but yet they're afraid that what he said would actually come to fruition there. Now, imagine with me for a moment. Jesus is in the tomb. He's wrapped up in there. He's there. They put this rock over there, and Pilate says, "Take some soldiers and seal it." Now, in my mind, maybe they took a rope or something, and they put it across one side of the tomb, and another side, maybe another one over there, and they put that Roman seal to hold it, like they would, in the old days, they would seal a envelope with the ring, and they'd drop a wax on it, they seal it. They wanted to make sure that it was covered, it was closed. And Pilate said to them, "Make it as sure as you possibly can." Isn't it amazing? All the army, all the seals of Caesar could not hold back the tomb of the risen Savior. And as the earth shook, as the rock rolled away, and Jesus Himself, where He lay, was no longer there. But guess what happened? I didn't read it, but in another passage, here come Mary, here come the other Mary, and Jesus says, "Wait a minute. Don't touch." We just went through all of the times He was touched. He said, "I have not yet ascended. I have not yet ascended." You remember the story where the woman pressed through the crowd and touched the hem of His garment? Isn't it amazing? All the times that Jesus was touched, He says, "Wait, don't touch." Why was that? Because He was taking that sacrifice and saying, "Lord, it's perfect. It's true. It is sufficient. It is finished. It is to the uttermost." But after the resurrection, after He ascended, there was one disciple who decided to miss church. Isn't that amazing? Old Thomas. He was there on Sunday, wasn't there on Sunday when Jesus showed up here in Galilee. And he gets the term doubting Thomas. Whenever he comes the next Sunday, what does Jesus say? "Thomas, touch me. There's the wounds. Feel me. Look. I'm not a spirit. I am body and spirit." Let me tell you something this morning, dear friend. That old tomb was rolled away. That rock was rolled away. That tomb laid empty. Jesus was no longer there. But I'll tell you where He's at forevermore. Seated at the right-hand throne of God. And He says, "Come, let us reason together. Come, let us talk together. Come, let me intercede on your behalf." As it says in 1 John chapter 2, "I'll be your advocate. Come and let me stand in your stead." Why? "Because I was touched for your iniquities. I was wounded for your transgressions. I was punished for your sins. And now I want to make a difference in your life." And He wants to touch your life today. Now, I don't know about you this morning, but dear friend, when we had our resurrection service this morning at sunrise, and the sun started coming up over those trees, it was my very first time of ever being involved in a sunrise service. I enjoyed immensely the time of singing and remembering that the Lord Jesus Christ is resurrected, and it is the guarantee of my salvation. He said, "Let me touch you." Jesus wants to touch your life this morning. But the enemies say, "Hey, we got to put a seal. The enemy said, hey, we've got to figure out how to get, make sure that this here doesn't come to fruition, because the last era, didn't they say, the last era will be worse than the first. They're admitting they made a mistake. The last era will be worse than the first. Let me tell you something. Your last era of anybody's life is to go off into eternity without Christ. The Bible says it's appointed unto unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. I would, dear friend, and I would be able to say to you that if you was to die tomorrow, the next day, the week after, without knowing Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, as a man of God, as a pastor, I would that I could come to your graveside and say some magical prayer, some wonderful prayer that would touch the ears of God, it would change His mind. But let me tell you something, dear friend, what you do with Christ here on this earth is what's going to happen in eternity. To be without Christ, the Bible says you will lift your eyes in a place called hell. To be in Christ, to be absent in this body, is to be in His presence. There's no church, no pastor, no man of God, no apostle, no evangelist that can help you after death. But I'm here to tell you, Jesus loves you. And if you don't know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior this morning, He lives to make intercession for you. Don't be like these deceivers thinking, these enemies thinking that he's a deceiver. The Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Don't be like the enemy and say, well, I'll put it off another day. Let me seal the tomb, put some soldiers, and after 3 days, we'll forget about this Jesus. The message of resurrected Christ has been going and sounding abroad since the day it happened. And the Bible says in Acts 17:6, those that have turned the world upside down have come hither. What was they doing? Preaching Jesus. His death, His burial, and His resurrection. The enemies were concerned that Christ would rise again. The enemy was there, the scribes, the Pharisees, the religious people was concerned, and they thought, man, we can conquer this. Pilate's guaranteed us a watch, and Pilate's put a seal. He's let us seal the tomb with his own seal, the seal of Rome and the seal of Caesar. It's sealed, and the soldiers there, and it wasn't enough. It was not enough. In so much, listen to the deceivers, the real deceivers. When the soldiers came, they concocted a lie. And they said, listen to it like this. Here's some money. We'll give you large amounts of money, as the scripture says. And you tell this story. His disciples came, stole him away. And from this day, the Bible said there in Matthew 28:15, until this day, the same story is told in and around and amongst the Jews. Let me tell you something, dear friend. The devil's whispering in your ear right now. Why don't you just give large amounts of money to the church? We took up an offering. It'll be enough. It'll be okay. The devil whispers up. Let me tell you something. Money's not enough. Money can do a whole lot of things. It can buy a car, it can buy a jacket, it can buy flowers, it can pay light bills, but dear friend, it cannot buy eternity. Amen. And he's whispering in the ear, just give a little bit. Just give and let time pass. It's okay, just good. Not by works of righteousness which you have done, but according to his mercy. Oh, just sing in the choir. Oh, join one of the groups and sing. What those kids, beautiful. I mean, all the groups and the choir. But those small ones, they sung. And boy, they got real quiet. And then they said, it's Jesus. And man, that wasn't that sweet. Yes, it's sweet, but all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You can sing in all the choirs you want. You can start your own choir. You can go up to Broadway and open your own musical if you want, dear friend, and sing about Jesus all day long. But with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. It's not about the songs you sing from the lips. It's from the song that Jesus puts in your heart. He lives forevermore. But you can join a church. We've had several this week talk to me, Pastor, about the process of joining the church. And you can join this church and the church down the road, the church up in Orlando, the church down in Holy Paul. You can join the church over in Melbourne. You can have memberships in 6 or 7 different churches, dear friend. But I'm going to tell you this. It was Jesus Christ that died on the cross of Calvary. It was Jesus Christ that was put in the tomb. It was Jesus Christ when the rock was rolled away. It was not there. It's Jesus Christ that saves, not a church. Your membership won't do you a bit of good. It's a good thing. If you're saved and baptized, it's a good thing to be a member of a Bible-believing church. It's biblical. But you can't get it out of order. You've got to go in God's way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Nowhere in there do you find that you have to be baptized. You have to give money. You have to be a part of a choir. You have to be a church member. He says, no man coming to the Father but by me. Let's just give some money. Let's tell this story. And we've got it today, don't we? What did it say? Until this day. There's prominent preachers today that won't tell you that it's Jesus Christ and Him alone that gets you to heaven. They'll tell you this way's okay, that way's okay. Maybe you can go this way or you can go that way. Same story, right? You know where they got that from? The enemy. You know who's the arch enemy? The devil himself. He wants your soul. He wants to destroy you. He's got a place that's going to be his home for eternity. As long as you got breath in your lungs, dear friend, and you're not saved, he wants to fight every moment to blind your eyes and hide the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ from you. This morning, here at Lock Haven Baptist Church, you're not here by chance. You made a choice to come here. And just like you made a choice to come here, if you don't know Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, dear friend, you need to make a choice to accept Christ as your Savior. Nobody has to go to hell. Nobody. Jesus died, buried, and rose again, so you have opportunity to live forever with Him. Let's stand to our feet. Heads bowed, eyes closed. The pianist is on her way. Kind of run through the whole morning pretty fast here. But nothing more important than right now. I've already told you, explained to you, our church cannot save you, but we have a Bible, which is God's Word. And we'll be willing to take it and share with you the gospel message from Scripture, how you can know that you have a home in heaven. If you're lost this morning and don't know Christ as your personal Lord Savior, not that your dad was a Christian, not that your grandma was a Christian, but you have never made a choice to trust Christ and Him alone, would you come this morning? I'll be right down front. We'll take a Bible and show you how you can know that you have eternity in heaven because of Jesus. What page, brother?